Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome, everyone, to the Bryan Park Reading Room and today's Graphic Novel Book Club, celebrating 85 years of Archie Comics, hosted by Alex Albin. If you don't have a book, you're welcome to take free copies, courtesy of Penguin Random House. First, information on a couple of upcoming events. Poetry Tonight at 6 features Sally Keith, Joseph Legaspi, James Shea, and Nita Sofasaron. And tomorrow at 12:30, our Wednesday author series welcomes memoirist Ruthie Ackerman in her book, The Mother Code, Mike Drucker, author of Good Game, No Rematch, and David Litt in his book, It's Only Drowning. And for our next book clubs, July is Romance Month. Please join us as we celebrate the romance and rom-com genre on July 8th with The Heart of the Deal by Lindsay McMillan. And July 22nd for Love, Camera, Action by Noel Stark. If you're interested and know you can participate, you can pick up a copy of the first book club in July after today's program. A special thank you to Penguin Random House, especially Kelly Coyle Crivelli and Miriam Tullio, who have been invaluable partners in every way. On behalf of all of us here at the Bryan Park Reading Room, thank you for the beautiful books that fill our book carts, as well as the donation of the free books you provide for all our book clubs. And on top of everything else, bringing in this year's partners, Archie Comics and New York Review Books. We are truly grateful for their help and support throughout the year. Please join me in giving a round of applause for Penguin Random House. I also want to thank all of you for being here under this very hot day. And now I'd like to introduce our comic books aficionado and host for today. Alex Albin is the host and producer of the podcast Comic Book Club. He's worked for MTV News, TV Guide, and more, and is the author of an all-ages comic book series for Marvel, Thor, and the Warriors 4. Needless to say, we are very pleased to have him back in the reading room. Please join me in welcoming Alex Albin.
Hey, everybody. Just want to echo what Susie said. Thank you so much for coming out. It's super hot out, so you probably know this, but drink water if you get too hot. Feel free to leave and get somewhere shady. But we're having a nice breeze now, and we're going to talk about comics, so it's all good. So here's what I think we can do. I'm a huge fan of Archie Comics, and I'm a huge fan of the history of Archie Comics, so I was very excited to talk about these books today. I'm going to give you all a really high-end version of the history of Archie Comics because these fit in very nicely with it. We'll also talk about the book specifically, but rather than having me monologue for the next hour, I want to open it up to all of you because it's a book club. If you've read the book, if you have questions, comments, or anything like that, keep those in mind, think about those. But also, something that we do here every summer because we are out in the open in Bryant Park is a lot of people just don't read comics or literally even know how to read comics. So even if you have a question like that, if you're like, where does this go? Right to left, left to right? How do these panels work? Anything is fair game after you hear my little treatise on Archie comics towards the top here. So the two books we're going to talk about, normally we talk about one at a time, but the last one was rained out. We're going to be talking about Archie Meets Batman 66, which is by Jeff Parker, Michael Morrissey, Dan Parent, and Jay Bone. And then we're going to be talking about Archie Varsity Edition, this massive volume here, volume one, which is written by Mark Waid, art by Fiona Staples, Amy Wu, Veronica Fish, Thomas Patelli, and Ryan Jampol. And I also, just before I forget later, I want to give a thank you to Mark Waid, the writer of Varsity Edition, Jeff Parker, one of the co-writers of the Batman book, who are nice enough to, they can't be here today because they live on the other coast, but I wrote them and they were nice enough to send over some notes about the development of both of these books, so I'll share those as we go. So my big overall thing about Archie, and I'm curious to get a little bit of a show of hands. How many people here have read Archie comics? Just ever. Most, I think everybody is raising their hands here. They've all read Archie comics. And I think from talking to people, most people's first experience and almost everybody's first experience with Archie comics is those digest editions that you used to get in supermarkets. They collected a bunch of gag strips. They were Betty and Veronica Jumbo Digest, Archie Comics Jumbo Digest, Archie Comics Summer Digest, any of that sort of thing. I mean, I'll say my first experience was sleeping over at my friend Josh's house in elementary school while I'd wait for him to wake up, because I also always woke up early. He had shelves of them, and I would just lie on the floor and inhale those books. And I think part of the reason for that is, even though those characters are very old, and we will jump in and talk about the history a little bit, everybody identifies with somebody in the Archie canon. You see yourself in somebody there, whether it's Archie, the goofball who's constantly getting into scrapes, but always trying to do the right thing, in love with two different girls and not sure which way to go. Maybe it's Jughead, who's just very focused on where he's going to get his next hamburger from Pops. Maybe it's Reggie Mantle. Maybe you're like, I'm a jerk who loves cars and infringing on my friend's business. Or maybe it's Betty or Veronica. Betty is earnest and good-hearted. She works on cards. She's into sports. Veronica is rich, but also good-hearted and trying to do the right thing at its base. And there's all the canon of characters that rotate around them in Riverdale. This is something that was set up back, the company pre-existed it, but in 1941 by John L. Goldwater and Bob Montana. Bob Montana was the artist. They created these characters, and for 85 years, as Susie mentioned, they stayed pretty steady. That's not exactly true. You know, they varied somewhere here and there. The art styles developed, but they stayed pretty much the same, and I think that also is part of it, that comfortability of this Americana from the 1940s, the 1950s, the way that we think about it in the esoteric and sort of the dreamlike state. That's mostly where Archie Comics exists in our memory. Behind the scenes, though, there were a bunch of changes, particularly leading up to here, Archie Varsity Edition, that came out in 2015, almost 75 years after the characters were created. So this, you can see by looking at the cover, this is Fiona Staples' art on the Frontier. She's a fantastic artist. This is different than probably the Archie comics that exists in your head. There's a very specific reason for that, or several reasons. So what changed in the 75 years? Again, very broad overview here, but after John L. Goldwater, his son Richard Goldwater took over the company in the 80s, things stayed pretty much the same. The basics of the business were the same. They released the digest. That's how people picked it up. That was pretty much it. However, following his passing in 2007, his half-brother, John Goldwater, took over as co-CEO. And there's a couple of things there. He was co-CEO. He was put in charge of the publishing and entertainment. There was another woman who was put in charge of other things, live events, whatever. There are a bunch of legal shenanigans and disagreements about the future of the company that we're not going to get into here, mostly because I'm not a legal guy. I'm a comic book guy. But suffice to say, John Goldwater is kind of where we're focusing. I don't believe really in the myth of the singular person. It's always a group of people. But you can kind of look at modern Archie comics as pre-John Goldwater, the second one, and post-John Goldwater once he took over. And I think at least part of that is he didn't have a comic book background and he didn't have a book background. He had a background in music management. He was managing rock campaigns, pop campaigns, things like that. So he was coming at it from a very different perspective. And he started to shake things up a little bit and say, what if we didn't just think about playing to the same supermarket market, playing to the same comic book market, getting the same old fans that have now been reading these books for 75 years? What if we focused on something different? So another big part of this, and I don't think you can undersell his importance, is the artist Dan Parent, who is the artist on Batman 66. He has become the commensurate Archie Comics artist and is the one that is most identified with the modern style that throws back to the old style. He kept it very consistent, but he brought in a lot of very modern ideas. And one of the biggest things that he did is in 2010, he was the artist on a book called Life with Archie. This is something you can't totally credit with him. If I remember, it was written by Michael Uslan. But what Life with Archie did was it took the characters and let them grow forward. Archie finally, after all this time, made a decision between Betty and Veronica, except he didn't, because the book focused on both paths. It sort of created a multiverse of Archie, where what if he chose Betty, what would happen? And what if he chose Veronica, what would happen? And they followed both stories. It was pretty big. It made a lot of press. It drew people to be talking about Archie Comics again in a big way. But even bigger than that, to loop it back to Dan Parent, is Dan Parent used a little bit of that clout to help push through Kevin Keller, who is the first gay character in the history of Archie Comics. He helped create that character. He drew that character. They introduced Kevin Keller in a bunch of stories. Even more press followed. People were paying attention to Archie Comics in a significant way for the first time in years. Kevin spun out into his own miniseries and ultimately won a GLAAD award among other awards. And it was a big deal. It really changed the game for Archie Comics because it said, hey, we're not changing much. These characters look the same. Archie is the same. Betty is the same. Veronica is the same. You know these characters. But now they have a friend, Kevin, who fits right into this world. Riverdale reflects everybody. It reflects the world outside your window, including, after all these years, a gay character. Gay people exist. Lesbians exist. Bisexuals exist, etc. But now you're going to see them reflected in Riverdale as well as many other faces, and we're going to bring them to the forefront. So this made them much more relevant to today. It brought more eyeballs on them. And they used this to do one of the smartest business decisions that anybody did. And this takes us back to a very different world. But in 2011, a year later, Archie was the first publisher to put their entire catalog digital. I don't want to get too heavily into the comic book industry, but comic book industry is mostly driven by brick and mortar comic book stores who are very stuck in their ways. To give you an idea of how it works, you actually have, they let people know 3 months in advance what the issues are going to be, and they need to order their comic books 3 months in advance, essentially betting on readers are going to want to read this thing versus people coming into stores, buying it, turning it around, or foot traffic driven in movie theaters or anything like that. It's in many ways a very backwards business. This is not to slag off comic book stores that I love, but it's not very forward thinking. Archie Comics was forward thinking here and was saying, hey, we're not on that supermarket spinner racks. People aren't grabbing us on the way out along with a pack of gum in the same way. How do we get in people's hands, whether it's digitally or otherwise? And their answer was put everything digital, and it worked. I'm going to take a little step back here because this is where we enter another key figure in the modern era of Archie Comics, and that's a guy named Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa. Back in 2003, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa was just about to graduate from Yale Drama. He was a playwright, and down in Atlanta at a theater called Dad's Garage, he did a play called Archie's Weird Fantasy. And Archie's Weird Fantasy was all of the Archie characters They started to deal with censorship. It riffed off a very real thing, which is the comics code that existed at the time and still kind of exists, but nobody pays attention to it, which came out of Archie, came out of a lot of comic books, and censored those comic books. So he was pushing back about that. There was a major plot line about Archie coming out as gay in the play, and almost immediately it was shut down by a cease and desist from Archie Comics. They renamed it Weird Comic Book Fantasy, renamed all the characters, and went forward with the play, but that was kind of it for Roberto Aguirre Sacasa's career with Archie Comics in 2003. He went on to become a major playwright on Broadway. He worked on things like the Carrie revival. He was the guy who kind of saved Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. If any of you know that, it was a disaster play that was in development for a really long period of time. It was a musical featuring Spider-Man. He was the guy who came in and fixed the play so they could actually open it and have it make any sort of sense to people on Broadway. And from there, he actually was able to spin it into some writing assignments for Marvel. Lo and behold, 10 years later, in 2013, at the same time, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa was writing and producing on Glee, and he pitched Archie Comics on what if we did Archie meets Glee? What if we did a crossover where the kids from Archie Comics in Riverdale met the kids from Glee, and they moved forward, and they did it, and it worked. He pitched a second book, which was an even bolder reinvention, called Afterlife with Archie. This is from the artist Francesco Francavilla, who has a gorgeous art style, but as far as you can get pretty much from the traditional Archie comic style. And the idea of the book is, what if a zombie invasion came to Riverdale and all the kids started dying? It's a little more complicated than that, but it's crazy dark. People actually die. Hot Dog dies in a Pet Cemetery way, comes back as a zombie dog who gives the zombie infection to people. Jughead becomes a zombie. Archie is fighting it back. It's awesome. If you ever are looking for a good, very dark, very funny zombie tale, check that out. But this is another like thing that showed Archie you can do things differently. You can push the envelope. You can push the style. And Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, the guy who 10 years previous, had been stopped by a cease and desist from Archie Comics, in 2014 did a semi sequel to our Afterlife with Archie called Chilling Adventures of Sabrina with the artist Robert Hack, which is also awesome, but took the Sabrina characters, made them dark, and he was made chief creative officer of Archie Comics. So in 10 years, he went from the guy that was persona not grata to Archie to running Archie, which is kind of crazy. And they kept pushing the envelope. Life with Archie, the book that split, ended with Archie dying and saving Kevin Keller from an assassination because he had been elected senator. Fox picked up Roberto Aguirre Sacasa's pitch for a show called Riverdale, which was a very adult, very dark take on Archie that grew directly out of the play that he did 10 years earlier. Ultimately, that would be done on the CW a couple of years later and led to an even bolder reinvention of Archie. But that brings us up to 2015, and that brings us up to the Varsity Edition, which was Archie saying, okay, we've done all these things. We've added gay characters into the mainline comics. We've tried showing what happens if Archie chooses Betty and Veronica. We've introduced zombies and witches and dark spells and different art styles. So how do we bring that back and make sure that this town, for the 75th anniversary of the publisher, is still relevant to kids today? So they brought in Mark Waid, and you can actually read his pitch document all the way to the back here. But it's really fascinating because what he starts off with is, he's like, first of all, you know, thanks for entrusting me to this. But his first bullet point is, first, do no harm. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read a little bit. But he says, there's nothing wrong with the Archie characters. All I'd say, and we discussed this in our phone conversation, is that over the last 75 years, they've had all the edges sanded off them, and we shouldn't be afraid to undo some of that. I feel like the well is run dry on some of them, and let's just dig deeper. So what he's saying is what we kind of started off with here, which is the Archie characters work. People identify with them. They still like the digest version. They like the version that they found in Supermarket. There's something that works about those essential characters. So let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's figure out how to make that wheel better. And that's really, along with Fiona Staples, particularly, who worked on the designs here, what they figured out with this book is how to broaden it out, how to make it so that it's a drama first book with comedy, not forgetting about the comedy, not forgetting about what people enjoy about these characters, but make it a soap opera and an ongoing soap opera. So, but also broaden out the cast. One of the first things that he does from the first pitch document to what you can see in the first 12 issues is he keeps Veronica and the Lodges off the stage for a couple of issues. And what that does is that allows other characters to come to the forefront, other characters specifically of diverse backgrounds. He pushes Tony Topaz, who's a character of color, who on the TV show Riverdale eventually was introduced as bisexual, which is very much based on her portrayal in here. You also get a new character named Saeed, who has a very different background and is a love interest for Betty, because Betty and Archie have broken up as the title starts off. So you get, rather than the traditional love triangle that in many ways is very regressive of Veronica and Betty fighting over Archie all the time and Archie going, oh, geez, who do I choose? And going back and forth. Betty has her own agency. Veronica has her own agency. Archie has other conflicts. You introduce other characters, so it's less of a love triangle and more of a love pentagon. So there's a lot of different things going on here. This was extraordinarily successful. It did really, really well. Again, a lot of press. It sold very well, and it spawned an entire line that spun off of it in what they call the New Riverdale. You've got a Betty and Veronica title, Josie and the Pussycats, Reggie and Me. And then when Riverdale debuted the year afterwards, that only buoyed it up more because a lot of Riverdale on the CW was based on what happens in this book. You know, you could read through it. It's less comedic and more more camp, which is what Roberto Aguirre Sacasa liked a lot. But it comes right out of that. It plays into the drama. It plays into a more modern take on the characters where they've used social media. They know what it is. And at the same time, the other smart thing that Archie Comics did is it didn't stop publishing everything else. It still put out the digest. It put out the traditional comics. And that kind of brings us to this other thing here, Archie Meets Batman 66, which came out in 2018. And I won't spend too much time on this because I'm monologuing for a really long time. But crossovers have been part and parcel of Archie Comics for decades now. They're actually very early on it. They did one of their first crossovers in 1970 when Sabrina crossed over with the Groovy Ghoulies, which is a very old cartoon show that ran for a very short period of time. 1991, they did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Meet Archie when they were very popular with the new cartoon show. But sort of presaging this approach we talked about in terms of pushing the envelope, Archie has also gotten very weird with its crossovers. In 1994, they did one of the best comic book crossovers of all time, which was The Punisher Meets Archie. The Punisher, if you don't know, this is the Marvel Comics character who is a vigilante. He uses guns on the streets. He was kind of like Charles Bronson in Death Wish, but wearing a skull shirt in a superhero world. And he goes to Riverdale. He's following a mobster going to kill him and instead runs into the Riverdale gang. And it's played more for comedy than like raw violence. But it shows you that at the time, they understood that Archie is supposed to be funny and Archie is supposed to be weird. That's how we ended up with Archie Meets Glee. And we got 2012, we got Archie Meets Kiss. 2015, Archie versus Sharknado. Also the same year, one of my absolute favorites, which does go very dark, Archie versus the Predator, where the Predator comes to Archie and starts hunting the kids. You end up with some totally gross and very darkly comic moments, like the Predator rips out Jughead's spine and stuffs it in a vending machine in Riverdale High. It's very gross. But again, shows like, they'll do anything. Well, let's try something. These characters are malleable. They can end up in absolutely any place. And that brings us to Archie Meets Batman 66, which came out in 2018. I'll mention some of the stuff here. So this is the classic Adam West Batman TV show, crossing over with the kids from Riverdale. And this does... there's a couple of different ways you can go with the comic book crossover. The most traditional way is you have these two different universes. A portal opens. Everybody says, whoa, how did this portal open? What's going on? They go through the portal. They end up in each other's universes. They fight. Then they team up to fight a villain together. And then they leave. This posits something different and I think much smarter, which is Batman already exists in the world of Archie. They take place at the same time period. Why not just go from there and see what happens and just have fun with it? And that's exactly what they do over the couple of issues. The stuff I'll mention that Jeff sent to me, he mentioned that it was actually very easy to do. DC and Archie were both up for it. It was done under Archie Comics, but it was run through the Batman editor at the time, Jim Chadwick. And they really worked together. They just figured out what would be most fun to do. Why wouldn't Archie's jalopy be made into the Batmobile? That's pretty fun. Or why wouldn't Robin and Batgirl go undercover at Riverdale High? Again, just a fun choice. The one thing he mentioned that I don't think they did do is at the time they were going to try to do a musical list playlist on Tidal, T-I-D-A-L, not T-I-T-L-E. And the publishers thought they were going to go with like the Batman theme song and Sugar Sugar and other things. But Jay Bone, who is the anchor on here, had a couple of other suggestions that, again, never got done. But he was suggesting Windmills of Your Mind by Noel Harrison, which ties into Jughead, who gets brainwashed by the Joker in this book. I Put a Spell on You, because Sabrina and others show up, by Natasha Atlas. And they used a different version of Catwoman in here, but he suggested I Want to Be Evil by Eartha Kitt would tie in very nicely. So, again, they didn't end up doing that. The other thing that he mentioned that I thought was very interesting was this was successful enough, this book, that specifically Jeff Parker and Dan Parent teamed up on not a sequel series, but another team up, which was Archie Meets Flash Gordon. They wrote it, they drew it, and it has never been published anywhere. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know why it never came out, but they actually finished the entire series. So perhaps it is sitting somewhere in the Archie Comics archives waiting to be published, and it just never got done. So I'll finish up here in a second. If you guys have any questions, comments, complaints are also fine, I guess. And I think we'll have a mic that goes around for that. But this has continued to this day. You know, Archie Comics is in a very different place today, post all the TV shows that they were doing. But they still publish a lot of horror titles. They publish superhero titles as well. They just finished a couple of prestige series that were horror and superhero, but tried to treat it more seriously. And the other thing that's really come out of this era that I think is great is they've really continued to try to push the diversity of the cast, even in the classic comic book format. Since Kevin Keller, there's been a lot of that. And since this series itself ended, it ran 60-something issues, I want to say. There's 12 collected in this book. But they've introduced Eliza Hahn, who is a biracial pansexual teen. Harper Lodge, who is also bisexual and lives with a disability. Grace Alondra, who is hearing impaired. And ultimately what they're trying to do is just push characters to the forefront that allow characters the same way that back in the day you might have seen Archie on screen, not on screen, on the page, Betty on the page, seen any of those characters as yourself. They want to make sure if you're picking up an Archie Comics book today, you see yourself on the pages. And I think that's kind of great. So that's my little, not little speech. I just talked for about half an hour about Archie Comics, and I could go on for even longer. But we do have a mic at the back, so anybody raise your hands if you have any thoughts, questions. Again, they can be about these books. They can be corrections about any dates or names I got wrong. Just raise your hand, and we will come along around to you. Anybody? We have one over here. Yeah. You, sir.
What languages has Archie Comics been distributed in besides English?
I don't want to speak because I don't know the exact fact, but all of them. I mean, it's international, and that's one of the things that's, I think, wonderful about Archie Comics. You know, I've made this argument before, but I think the Archie Comics characters are as recognizable almost all over the globe as, like, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, anything like that. Like, as soon as you see that shock of Archie's red hair, you know what that is, to the point that recently there was an Archie Bollywood movie that was released on Netflix. I think that was last year. It might have been the year before. But that was something that was done by Archie, but it was done by a Bollywood studio. It had all actors from Bollywood studios. It was a musical. And it's not great. But there's a lot of really fun parts in it. And watching that movie, if you go watch it, it's still on Netflix. It does show you, like, these characters can be put in any situation, even though there's live actors playing them. They're in a completely different country with completely different cultural mores. There's, you know, that's Archie, you know, that's Betty, you know, that's Veronica, you know, all of them. So I don't want to, that's swerving from your question a little bit because I don't know the exact count, but I know they've been published all over the world. There's a couple of different shows, Archie comic shows. There's Riverdale, which you can watch on Netflix. That ran 7 seasons, and it's wild. It's one of my favorite shows. Comic Book Club, the podcast that I do, we actually did a spin-off podcast called Riverdale After Dark. It was our first TV recap podcast because I had gotten sent 3 of the episodes in advance, and I was like, this is nuts. This is Jason Blossom, one of the classic characters. It opens with his murder. Archie is sleeping with his teacher, Mrs. Grundy. It's exactly everything that you would not want. But the thing that I loved about that show so much is, not to keep going back and big upping Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, but he loves the characters and he loves Archie comics. And he makes sure that even when you're like trying to break them as hard as possible, it's still comes out who they are. So there was Riverdale that ran for 7 seasons. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is a dark take on the Sabrina characters, is also on Netflix, and that ran for 3 seasons, maybe 2 seasons. There's one called Katie Keene that ran on the CW. I think that's streaming on Max, if I remember. And that's a sweet musical that was set in New York about people trying to follow their dreams of the big city. It includes Josie from Josie and the Pussycats and other classic Archie Comics characters. So it goes that side. And the last one, I think the Bollywood movie was called The Archies, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, you can watch any of those. And they're all fun in their different ways. Do we have any other? Oh, we have one over here. Yes.
Did they do one where Archie goes to outer space?
Almost definitely. I honestly don't remember offhand, but particularly in the digest, Archie has done literally everything at this point. You know, a lot of what the classic strips are gag strips. They're a page to 4 pages long. They're super short and they do literally anything. Like, it's not grounded. Anything can happen there. Aliens can show up. They get magic powers. They become superheroes. Anything you can imagine has happened with the Archie characters. And it's funny, if you read the back matter in the pitch document, Mark Waid for Archie, this Varsity edition, specifically says, we're not doing any of that. You know, it's not to say a bad pun, it is Arch. There are ridiculous things that happen. Like, there's a great joke, because Archie is a total klutz here. In the early pages, he's trying to get a job, and he gets a bunch of jobs, and they go wrong in progressive ways. There's one panel where he's working at an ice cream shop, and the ice cream is on fire. And he's like, I don't even know how I did that. I don't know how that happened. So it goes a little ridiculous, but this is one that, like, grounds it a little bit. If you're looking for stuff where Archie goes to outer space or gets magic powers, read the old digest, because literally anything happens there. Anything else? Anybody else have any favorite Archie comics? No? Yeah, you said a long way from sitting in your box reading. Oh, yeah. Just for anybody who didn't hear, sitting in front of your box of cereal and reading Archie comics when you're younger. And yeah, it's, it's a team effort, and there's a lot of people that worked on this for a lot of time. But John Goldwater, when he took over, really start just leading into other distribution methods and other publishing methods and not saying, let's just rely on what we did before. And that's something that a lot of other publishers have explored with varying results, I think. But Archie, at least in those 5 years there, saw a lot of success with being like, let's just try stuff. What we're doing is working in its own way, but it's dwindling working. Let's go crazy. Anything else? No? All right. Oh, we do have one more back here. Oh, wait, I can't hear you. Here, hold on. Let's wait for the mic.
Do they got like an anime show, Archie, like a TV show, cartoon?
Yeah, I don't know if there's an Archie anime, but there's definitely Archie's Weird Adventures, which is a weird animated show that, again, I want to say is streaming on Max, but I could be wrong about that. You might just have to like search it out on YouTube or something. But that's very old school Archie, where they go on weird different adventures, and that has a lot of supernatural stuff. Another one over here.
As a matter of fact, in about 1972, there was a cartoon series for Saturday mornings called U.S. of Archie, in which the gang went to historical places, like they fought the Revolution and they invented electricity with Ben Franklin, and they went on the Mayflower and all that kind of stuff. So you might want to seek that out. If you're looking for them in Wacky Adventures and in Outer Space, in the mid-60s, there was a continuity in the comics called The Man from Archie, which was parodying the James Bond stuff, and a TV show called The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a popular spy show at the time. So if you want spies worldwide in outer space and stuff like that, seek out the mid-60s stuff that has The Man from Archie stories.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having... No, you don't. You don't need a life. You need more Archie comics in your life.
You just added life. Thank you.
Yes. Unless there's anything else, because it is a hot day out, I think we are going to probably wrap up now. I want to thank all of you for coming out on this extremely, extremely hot day, and I hope you stay cool. Thank you to Bryant Park. Thank you to Archie Comics. Thank you to Penguin Random House as well. And check these out. There's comic book stores all over the city. We're just a couple of blocks from Midtown Comics, where you can probably pick up both of these books. They're both great. If you're looking for classic Archie, pick up Archie Meets Batman 66. If you want a little bit more of a modern reinvention, definitely get the Archie Varsity Edition. And yeah, you don't need a life. All you need is more comics. Thank you, everybody.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.